was one of the ones we chose because it's a model. And I just got to say that for a second that, you may not feel that. You know, it's in the middle of, you're just in the weeds trying to do the things. And I know how that feels. I remember one woman in our church, we were in New York City, and I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "I just keep throwing in the towel and the Lord keeps throwing it back at me." And have you ever been there? Have you had that feeling sometime? And there was a guy in New York, one of the shop owners. I don't know if this was great for his business, but he had a T-shirt and it said, "I have one nerve left and you're standing on it." Have you heard that? I mean, have you ever felt that way? I want to tell you something. You may feel that way, but remember, you are in some ways a model for all over the country. There's 47,000 Baptist churches all over the country. What if everyone reached out in ways for people that are having a tough time or going through something? Wouldn't that be amazing? It would change our nation. So, just remember that the path you're making right now, it may turn out to be a road for others. So God bless you for that, and I commend you for that. And I worked in New York City for 35 years in a, let's just say it was an under-resourced neighborhood. A cat with a tail would be a tourist in that area. It was just, it was abandoned buildings and all that kind of stuff. And we started a storefront. And so I'm now, we did that for 35 years and helped start churches. So praise God, new churches, that's exciting to me. Now I'm just trying to encourage other people. Is anybody a Star Wars person, like Star Wars? Well, I'd say, I can't be Luke Skywalker anymore, but I want to be Yoda, only a little taller, and maybe with better syntax, I don't know. That's what I want to do is encourage people. So I'm going around, and I'm so happy when Pastor Jimmy said, come here and share a little bit with you. I'm going to cut to the quick and just tell you, I'm going to preach to myself tonight. But I think that's okay because David did that a lot, didn't he? And they call it self-talk. I mean, think about it. Some of you may have grown up and heard that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He's not talking so much for God. It's for him. I will fear no evil. And so he includes us in that. So I'm going to share three things. I may ask you, see if you remember them, three things and three scriptures tonight. And they're tough ones. So if you're at a place that you're saying, "I can't hear that, handle that," just stop and rest in the Lord, because we'll be reading some scriptures. So you ready? Here, there's three things that God is telling me, and I've got to say to myself over and over again. So the first one is pretty simple. Play the cards you're dealt. And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm going to turn again to David. You remember that one of his most famous stories is David and Goliath. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it's verse 37, but we might read a verse or two before that. And remember, David comes, and just remind you, David, Samuel came to anoint someone, and David's dad brings seven of the sons in, and God says, "Not that one, not that one, not that one." They go, "You have any others?" And he goes, "Well, there's one other one who's just out in the field. He didn't even think enough to bring him in." And that was David. So he had that background. And now he's going to face a giant. And we don't know, maybe he's like, depending on how the Hebrew is, it's like 7 to 9 feet tall. So big dude. Been a warrior all his life. That's what he's trained for. Incredible weapons. Got a shield bearer. I mean, he's got a spear like a weaver's beam. It's so strong, it'd go through a wall. I mean, he's incredibly strong and powerful. And David, says, "Hey, with the Lord's help, I can do this." And they're going, "How could you do this?" And you remember what he says? It's really great. I'm going to read this little passage. So here's David, a young guy. He's seeing this Goliath challenge the armies of the Lord. He's really fired up about it. And this is what he says. Yeah, I'm going to start with verse 34. Because Saul goes, "Look, you're just a youth. What can you do?" And David answered Saul. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it. I struck it down. I rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by the fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And he says it again. Then David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Isn't that something? He could have had a different speech, couldn't he? He could say, "You know, my dad really didn't think that much of me. I had a tough time. I certainly can't tell you, I'm not tall like this guy. I don't have the weapons he has. I don't have the training he has." But he looked and found something he did have. And he looked at that and he put that in his resume. He goes, "Well, I've had this, and I've had this, and I've had this. And God can use that." You see, on that, play the cards you're dealt. I haven't played poker for 50 years. I got to be honest, so I'm not. But as a teenager, I'd play. And I remember, once whatever style you play, you get your cards. You got to play those cards, don't you? You know, and even if it's a bad hand, you can play it. Sometimes you play it well, you can do pretty well. So play the cards you're dealt. That's what David does. And let me just say this for people in this room and for myself. You may feel like you're facing a giant right now. Think about what that is for you. What's the giant for you? You've got something. You've got something. Think of what that is. David said, "Well, I had this experience. I had this experience." You've got something. My son started, we had church, our churches are called Graffiti, which is another story I'll tell another time, but they had Graffiti 1, 2, 3, he started Graffiti 3. He went to law school, so he was to do law. But the person that worked with him had been a heroin addict, and he came to a meeting like this, and he hated God. He was so angry about a lot of stuff. He finally prayed, and he said, "That's the first prayer I've ever prayed." He said, "Every other time I prayed, it was just sticking a needle in my arm and saying, 'God, kill this. Kill me.'" So they went out together. And what he said was this. He said, "You teach me how to be a paralegal. I'll teach you about the streets." And my son learned a lot more than the other guy did. See, everybody's got something. And you've got something that can bless people. So that's the first thing. And I think about that I want to say this to Pastor Jimmy, too. I mean, God bless Pastor Jimmy, the things he's doing. You know, there may be times you may have a challenge in ministry, like the feeding of the 5,000. Some of you know those stories where they've got 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people, and they've got nothing. And and Jesus turns to them and says, "Will you give them something to eat?" And what have they got? It's 5 loaves. 2 fish. I didn't realize when I was growing up that it's 5 little pieces of pita bread and 2 really tiny sardines. It's a little boy's lunch. And you may feel like I've only got 5 hamburger buns and 2 sardines for this incredible need. But you've got something. And that's the key. Start with what you've got. And that's my prayer. Even there may be someone that's feeling down tonight. You say, "I don't have anything." There's something. Let the Holy Spirit rise up in you and share with you what that thing is that you have, because it's there. Now, I'm learning. I've just gotten here. I was 10 minutes before the service, so I'm going to learn some tomorrow about things. I've read a lot about what you do. I know you do a lot with people that are having challenging times. I've worked with people in New York City for 35 years, and we always say, don't give food to people, eat with them. So a lot of times I'm eating with people that are under-resourced, or, now they say it's without housing. Some people don't have housing, but some people are homeless too. They don't have a home. There's nobody caring for them. And I'll tell you something. So I'm going to say this. I'm not a social worker, but this has been my experience after 35 years. The people that focus on what they have tend to slowly move forward. The people that focus on what they don't have often stay the same or move backwards. Have you seen that happen? And so I'm just saying, like David, you may come here today, and I've got some things too where you say, "I've got 16 problems today." But I can promise you, you've got 17 things to thank God for. And you can say, "Thank you, God, for that." "Well, no, I'm not a warrior, but I took on a bear one time, and I didn't see many bears in New York City. I almost got mugged by a guy with a fur coat on once. I don't know if that counts, but..." But you can think through your experiences and say, "I've got something." So is that happening? That's what I'm praying for. That spirit will rise up within you right now. That spirit of victory like David. And you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to be a giant. But for that to stir up. While I was driving here, I grew up in Oklahoma. So even though I was in New York City for so long, it's really fun being here because it's like I can see the sky again. You know, it's really a big deal. So I've just been thinking about my dad would always tell this story about some woman in a church that he knew. And she was so thankful. She only had two teeth in her head, but she was so thankful. You know why? Because those two teeth met, praise the Lord. And so I'm just saying, there's probably something right now that you can be thankful for. And remember who, that's why we're gathered here. Who knows what God will do? A long, long time ago, I'll just go ahead and tell you this. I came to a church and there was a 90-year-old woman. I said, "You have any kids?" She said, "Not yet." Who knows? When you read what God might do, who knows what God might do? And that's what my prayer is right now. Even if the devil's trying to rob you and take everything away from you, Jesus is a better giver than the devil is a robber. And so that's what I'm saying. And that's what I get from David and this, and that's what I'm telling myself. Does anybody remember what is that line that I said? Starts with play. Plays the card you're dealt. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It's right there. There's a lot of other places in the Bible too. I could talk about Mary or Paul or a lot of others. But you get the point. So that's the first thing that I think's really helping me, and I'm preaching to myself. And maybe you need to preach it to yourself. You got something. Okay, you ready for the second one? The second point is simply this. Think like a head, not a tail. You got to stay with me for a moment on this. So there's a wonderful place. We looked at David. I want to share with you a place from Moses. It's Deuteronomy chapter 28. And there's a powerful, powerful verse in here that has helped me a lot. Oh, thank God I found Deuteronomy. You know, I kind of have a mental block kind of. Start sweating when I need to look stuff up. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first verse is a powerful verse. And it's something we've got to remember here in our church. I mean, this was a long time ago, but it's still the same thing for us today. Because this is what he says. And this is Moses speaking. He says, "Now, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, and carefully follow his commands." It's the voice. You may not have that in your translation, but it's to follow the voice of the Lord. That's all through the Bible, and it's the same today. You know, in the God, you can't tell the God who says, "I am who I am," that he was who he was. He still speaks. He says, when you turn, whether to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And my prayer is you might tune me out for the rest of the time. And the Spirit starts leading you. You need to do this. Move this way. It says, follow the voice. Then it says all these great things that happen when you do that. And I'm going to talk about one of the great things. Now, if you read the whole chapters, if you don't follow it, I'll just say this. Things get complicated. I'm just going to say that. But in chapter 28, verse 13, it says something like this. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Praise God. Let's think about that for a second. If we want to be, you know, if he's made us that, we got to stop thinking and talking like a tail. Satan's not on our back. He's under our feet, according to the scripture. And we need to start thinking and talking like that. So now, just stay with me for a second. I know you're thinking, well, I'm not, you think like a head. That doesn't mean I'm going to be braggy and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. A person who's bragging a lot, talking about themselves a lot, they're usually very insecure. And that's why they're doing it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that calmness that comes when you know through Christ that you've got nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to lose anymore. Nothing to hide. Let me just say this. You know, think around. The scripture says every one of us has fallen short, has sinned, and is falling short of the glory of God. So there's nobody here that can, I mean, we're all bozos on this bus. We're on the same boat. Some of you may, you know, some may be more obvious, but every one of us, we're just saying, hey, I've got nothing to hide anymore. Yeah, I messed up. Someone, you know, someone accuses me of something, and bad I've done, I'll go, man, you don't know the half of it. You don't know the half of it. So nothing to hide anymore and nothing to prove. You know, so many people spend their whole life trying to prove something to somebody, their mom or their brother, or that, nothing to prove anymore and nothing to lose. Once you have what we're talking about here tonight, what can harm you? What if this building's going to pass away? This city's going to pass away. This nation's going to pass away, but your soul will continue. And, you know, there's no one can take that away from you. They can take your goods, your arms, your legs, your life, but they can't take that. So you've got nothing really to lose. So I just pray. Just let that sink in for a second as we read this scripture. And let me share how I understand it. And so I'm going to use a sports image. I'm not a sports guy. And I will not touch basketball tonight for any reason. But I will say this. So in New York City, I used to think about this because we work with kids a lot. And I thought about, you know, our 10, 11-year-olds, you know, they're out scrappy playing baseball. And I go, what if Aaron Judge, the home run hero of New York City, came to be with them? And that would be a big deal for them in New York City. You know, if Aaron Judge came, he wouldn't be going, hey, let me bat. Give me that bat. I got to show you what I'm going to do. He wouldn't do that. He'd be helping those kids. Lift your elbow up this way. Come on, nice job. Because you know why? Because he's got nothing to prove. He's got nothing to hide, nothing to lose. And that's where we are. Once we have Christ, we don't have to think about those other things anymore. So nothing to hide, nothing to lose. And let me just say this too. I'll just say this is something I struggle with. Some of you may not struggle with it. But sometimes I will get so down on myself. Maybe that's a script from somewhere, you know. In the Bible, the word Satan means accuser. And so that's what Satan does. He'll accuse. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is called the encourager. So that's what he does. And I tell you what, I've hung out with the accuser and I've hung out with the encourager. It's a lot more fun to hang out with the encourager. That's all I'm saying. But that's what the accuser does. And sometimes that gets to me. And I'll be happened this week. You know, something in my family, I forgot. And I'm going, how stupid was I? And I woke up at 2 a.m. You ever had that? We just hear that accuser, you idiot. You stupid. Why'd you say that? Why'd you do that? You ever have that? Have you had that sometime? And let me tell you, and your head feels like it's got a tree full of monkeys and they're all accusing you and saying you should have done this and all that. You ever had that happen? Well, this is what I did last night. And this is what I recommend. You just turn to the accuser and you say, everything you say may be true, but I've got a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's what I'm going to look toward. And, you know, the Bible says you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So that's that second thing that we've been talking about. It's just, look, think like a head, not a tail. Let me just say this too. You fight. Have you ever heard this? You don't fight thoughts with thoughts, I've learned. You fight thoughts with words. That's how it works. I heard one guy, made me think, he goes, it's really hard to sin when you're reciting John 3:16 out loud. I thought, well, that's true. You know, yeah, that's why we gather, that's why we sang in worship. That's why you say these things to you. We speak the words because that's what helps shape us. I learned that in New York City. When we tutor kids and so forth, that the word bless, you know, in the Bible, it's blessings and curses. And blessing to me, it means when you empower someone to succeed. And cursing is when you empower them to fail. And I'll tell you what, you can curse a child in tutoring. You stupid! You messed up again in math. You are the worst person in math I've ever worked with in my entire life. What an idiot! You can empower that child to fail. But you can also empower someone to succeed. Nice job. Way to go. You didn't get that one. Let's work on this one together. You're doing better. Way to go. You see how that works? And it works in all parts of your life. You got a girlfriend or a spouse or a boyfriend or whatever, and you say, I quit. Or you're married. You know, we're getting divorced. I'm fed up with you. You could say that. Those words are powerful. But what if you said, I know we're having a rough time, but I want you to know I love you. And together, I'm going to stick with you. We're going to get through this together. You see how those words shape what happens? So talk like a head, not a tail. That's my speech to myself. Okay. Anybody remember the first one? What was the first one again? Play the cards you're dealt. Anybody remember the second one? Think like a head or something like that. Yeah. Okay. So you are doing great. I've got one more. And again, stay with me. There's a scripture that goes with it. And this is, I'm talking to myself. Here it is. Stop calling God a liar. And let me give you the verse on that. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Some of you may know it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given about his Son. He's made him a liar. Think about it for a second. To me, you might say, well, that sounds kind of harsh. But for me, that helps me understand what faith is. There's a million ways to describe faith. But to me, it kind of releases me. All I got to do is stop calling God a liar. Almost every morning right now, I'll write down one verse, John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, as many as receive him, even to those who believe on his name, to them give he the power to become a child of God. Think of that. You may want to be the child of Warren Buffett or Prince Charles, or Beyonce, I don't know who you want to be the child of, but you know, you may be on child of some, that'd be great, but to be the child of God, I don't want to call God a liar. And so I just stop calling him a liar. Or think about where it says, if any person be in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Could we stop calling God a liar? That's what he's done when you accept Christ. That was then, this is now. Every time the devil comes and brings all those things, if that was then, this is now. In our area, there's a Catholic school called St. Augustine. And I kind of like Augustine, so I'm going to go back 1,500 years ago. Here's why I like Augustine. He was super smart. And to be honest, he was kind of a ladies' man. He had a lot of ladies. And there's one point he prayed. He said, oh, Lord, please make me holy, just not yet. And I think that's funny. I'm 1,500 years ago. I said, you know, please don't make me holy yet. And then finally, he does have a turnaround. He makes Christ his Lord. And he's walking down the street one day, and one of his old girlfriends says, yoo-hoo, Augustine, it's me. And he turned to her and he said this, yes, but it is not me. And sometimes we need to say that. That was then. This is now. Are we going to mess up sometimes? Yes, we are. That's part of it. But you've got a Savior, even when we mess up. So I'm thinking this today, and I know I'll learn more as I'm here the next day and a half that I'm around. There is a guy that came where we were on the Lower East Side. He was living, and I don't know what they call it here. But he was living in a crack house. That's what they call it in New York City. It was just a place where people get together and they do drugs and stuff like that. So he was living in a crack house. He'd been homeless for a long time. And he went through a line where we were giving a sandwich out. And somebody in the line, you know, it was just someone. They didn't do anything right. He just said they were both firm and kind. Firm and kind. You get one sandwich, you got that. And it just made an impression on him. You never know what something's going to happen. Something you've done that will touch someone. He went back to the crack house and he says, God spoke to him in the crack house. You know, God's everywhere. He spoke to him. He can speak to you in a shower. He can speak to you on a bar stool. He'll go anywhere. And I said, what'd he say? And this is what he said. He said, you can do better than this. That's all. You can do better than this. And he came to our mission. He made a commitment to the Lord. He got baptized. He became the most anointed teacher I've ever heard, Bible teacher. I've heard a lot of people, but he is the best. And here's one time, here's how he described faith. he said, you know, as he grew, I mean, he in the end, he became the leader of giving out all the food to people because he'd been in the line at one time. He was a leader. So thousands and thousands of meals, people knew him all over the neighborhood. He said sometimes he went to a local diner and for breakfast. He liked to go there for breakfast. And he said every now and then the waitress would come up and the waitress would say, you don't have to pay today. Someone paid for you, paid everything, paid the tip, everything. You don't have to worry about any of that. And he said, I had a choice when that happened. I could either go up to the cashier and fight and try to say, no, I got to pay. I'm going to pay this. I'm, you know, do all that. And basically what I'm saying is that waitress is a liar. Or I could say, thank you, and receive it. Remember what I said, as many as receive him, even the ones that believe on his name. That's the core of the gospel. You receive it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. And the things you've given our life right now, we're going to play the cards we're dealt. Lord, we're going to think like a head, not a tail. And Lord, we're going to stop calling you a liar and trust you and receive what you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.